Hamas are radical extremists.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Islamists who love to bring troubles to their people and to their neighbors. Yes. And they would never stop with Israel. They would go beyond. And no one wants these madmen to rule or have a state.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls around the world? I would like to welcome you back to the Real Talk with Zuby podcast. Today, we are coming to you live from the city of Dubai in the United Arab Emirates, and I'm going to be talking to a really interesting man. He is an Arab peace activist, and he is also a student and an educator in languages and history, and this is Luai Al-Sharif. Welcome to the show, man.
A real pleasure being with you, Zuby, really. Thank you so much for having me.
No doubt, man. Thank you for the gift
of your time.
And
welcome to the land of peace and tolerance, the UAE and Dubai. People think that Dubai is the name of the country. Dubai is a city. Yeah. So welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Luai, I've done a brief intro there, but for people who are not familiar with you and all of your work, please introduce yourself.
So my name is Luai Al-Sharif. I am a social media content creator of languages and history, and also a peace activist. Very specialized in the Arab-Israeli conflict and believe in a Middle East where Arabs and Israelis, Muslims and Jews can thrive, prosper, and live together for the sake of our forefather Abraham and to make this world a better place. And I hope to do this through my knowledge in languages and history.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Okay, let's run it back. Tell me a little bit about your background. Where did you grow up?
I was born and raised in Saudi Arabia. I was raised in a family that is half Saudi, half Egyptian. I was raised with a great influence of Islam in my early life. I was a very religious Muslim. I memorized the whole Quran at the age of 18. I was someone who was very in deep love with religions anyway. But it was like a very different views. It was a different perspective than the one I had when I was 27. So when I was 18, 19, 20, I was very, extreme. I thought that following the religion by the core and with all things taken literally is the right thing. But things changed when I went to study French in Paris 2010. I lived with a Jewish family, and that experience itself really transformed my life for the better. So it was the first encounter I had with the Jewish family. I changed lots of my views about the Jews. I had so negative views about Jews and Christians as well.
Okay.
But the first encounter really changed my views, opened my heart, I would say, and I became a different person. I came back to Saudi Arabia in 2011. I decided to do a show on YouTube. It's called Falimha, which means teaching people languages through teaching people English through Hollywood movies. I won the best educational idea in Saudi Arabia. I was honored by the Minister of Education in Saudi. And then I became really a different person. But I want to tell you one thing, Zuby. It was that Jewish family that had great influence on Luai in 2010 that all the achievements that Luai made from 2010 till 2024, I hope, were made of that single encounter with a Jewish family that really changed my life and really cascaded a new perspective on how I see things, how I see different people from different faiths. And I became, I fell in love with Judaism, Hebrew, the Bible. Mm. And I'm trying to do this noble message of bringing people together through social media.
No doubt. Well, it's something that, in my view, should not be as controversial as it is.
Should not be something, and the reality is something else, of course.
Of course.
Because
of course.
When it comes to the word Jew or Israel, mm-hmm. it is very sensitive. But I've been there, done that. So, and I really, Zubi, I want to say one thing. I really praise God for making me go through this stage, seeing the darkness and overcome it, mm-hmm. defeated it, and see the light. And I'm so grateful that he made me do this, because when I see people attack me on social media or insult me or say, you know, I just lay down, you know, let's just say, oh, you know what? I've been in your shoes,
yeah.
And I've seen this darkness before. I overcome it. So I tell this to people who choose not to be my friends anymore, because I've been outspoken about my belief in a permanent peace with Israel. Mm. And I love the Israelis as much as I love the Palestinians. I love
yes.
everyone. No hate. Mm. You know, it's like, it shouldn't be controversial, but because Israel and Jews and everything, it's very sensitive.
For sure.
I remember, Zubi, when I was young, I read a book called The Protocols of the Elders of Zion. That was mm-hmm. one of the fundamental books that made me hate Jews.
Okay.
Really. I cannot forget that. So, plus also religious texts that are interpreted in a way that would make you hate Jews. And this is very unfortunate. And we're trying to change this with knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
I always say, to defeat radical extremism, you need to have two things: a pure heart and knowledge.
That sounds right to me. I'm curious, tell me more about where did you grow up in Saudi Arabia?
Jeddah.
In Jeddah, okay.
Jeddah.
Okay. I used to live
I am Jeddawi Ahlawi.
Jeddawi Ahlawi.
Jeddawi is like raised in Jeddah, born and raised in Jeddah. Ahlawi is like I support or I cheer for Al Ahli.
Okay, football, I love that.
Football,
I love that.
Football team.
That's cool. So we've got an interesting crossover there, because my parents used to work for Aramco. So
you are on the eastern side. I'm
yes.
the western side.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. The western side.
I lived in Saudi. Unfortunately, I don't speak Arabic, but I actually went to school in Saudi Arabia. They didn't teach it to us. They only taught it to the Arabic students.
Oh, really?
So if you were a student from the UK, America, Canada, you didn't learn it. But if you were from Egypt, Syria, Jordan,
you
had classes in Arabic.
Yeah,
it's actually a big shame. I hate to say that I lived in Saudi Arabia for a long time, and I don't speak Arabic.
You should speak Sharqawi.
I know. I wish. I'll work on it. Let me get my Spanish up to scratch, and then I think Arabic will be.
How many languages do you speak?
Perfectly one.
Okay. It's English, though. That's what matters.
To be able to make a song or to do a podcast like this. Just English.
English is good. English is good.
Basic conversation, I can manage in Spanish. My French is a little bit rusty right now, but...
Vous parlez français, monsieur?
Oui, je peux parler français.
Ouh là là.
Bien?
Wow.
Oui. Okay. I'm going to mix it with Spanish right now, though, because I got been... yeah, we'll see. Not también.
Languages really open your heart and
For
open
sure.
your mind
yeah.
to different cultures.
You speak English, Arabic, Hebrew, and French?
French, antipou. I speak, you know, I went to France
yes.
to study French. I ended up learning Hebrew and Judaism.
Oh, okay.
Because the family was a French, it was a Jewish family.
French.
So I fell in love with the Hebrew, not only the Hebrew language, the Hebrew hatarbut, you know, the culture, the background, the Bible, lots of things. So, and I also speak Syriac Aramaic.
Okay.
I did one interview in Syriac Aramaic with an Aramaic TV. Aramaic is like the ancient language
yes.
that Jesus spoke.
Yeah.
I also write Egyptian hieroglyphs, Heretic and Demotic. These are the... By the way, there's nothing called hieroglyphic language. Hieroglyphic is not a language. It's a writing system.
Mm-hmm.
The language is Egyptian.
Yes.
So I know how to write the Demotic because I studied the Rosetta Stone very well. Rosetta Stone is a stone that is written in three different languages, Demotic, Greek, and three writing systems, Demotic, Greek, and hieroglyphic. And this is how the Napoleon and the French scholars at that time decoded Egyptian hieroglyphs. I also write ancient languages like Nabataean.
Okay.
The Nabataean script is the Aramaic script, is where our Arabic script came from.
Mm-hmm.
And Lihyanit, these are ancient languages in Arabia, because I've done lots of programs introducing the Arabian civilizations in Saudi Arabia to the audience in 2000 and to the Arab audience in 2016, 17.
Okay. So is languages, is that what you studied at university?
No? I studied software engineering.
Oh, software engineering. Gosh, yeah. We have a lot of parallels.
Yeah,
software engineering. I'm a computer science graduate.
All right. I'm a software engineer, but language is like my passion.
Yeah.
And maybe there's a cross-reference here because, you know, when you study software engineering, you're into coding. And coding, you need to – I wrote with C#, C++. And now I still use Python. It's a language that is used for data scientists, web scraping and stuff like that. So I do lots of Python and data scientists. I scrape lots of websites to get some data here and there. I still use my software engineering skills. But my passion is for languages and history.
Okay.
And I plan, inshallah, to do something related to reviving history with AI in a way to make education much easier to people. Because I love history so much. And I believe that if you don't understand history, you would never be able to deal with the present and you would never have a bright future.
We all know that in today's fast-paced world, it's harder than ever to live a healthy lifestyle. Just about everyone is struggling with gut issues, stress, inflammation, fatigue, or immune issues. Most of it comes down to diet, but getting nutrient-rich food consistently isn't always easy or affordable. With hectic schedules, processed foods, and the rising cost of healthy options, we all need a cheat code as the game of life gets more difficult. My cheat code is Optimal Human. With over 90 ingredients, including powerful vitamins and other nutrients, one serving of Optimal Human helps me fulfill my daily nutritional needs. And in my opinion, it tastes better than many of the other green supplements on the market. Optimal Human contains powerful superfoods like organic reishi mushroom for your brain, turmeric root for your joints, beetroot for cardiovascular health, CoQ10 for cellular health, and probiotics for gut health. It's simple to integrate into your daily life. Just add one scoop to water, a smoothie, or your protein shake and get an instant, delicious nutrient boost. Try Optimal Human today and get 50% off your first month by going to optimalhuman.com/Zuby. That's optimalhuman.com/Zuby, and you'll get 50% off your first month. Go check it out. There's so many directions that we can go on this podcast. So tell me what it was that you believed prior to this trip to France. So before you went and you stayed with this host family in France, you said that you would have described yourself as very religious. You had memorized the entire Quran.
I read the six books of Sunnah. You know, we call it the six books of Sunnah. Al-Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmidhi, and Nasa'i, Ibn Majah, Ibn Dawood. I read them all.
Okay.
I had this talent, by the way, of memorizing so quick and reading so fast. Alhamdulillah, I was a bookworm.
Yes.
I love reading. I still do. But now I do it on Kindle. Kindle and Audible.
Yeah.
But my views were very like a strict religious Muslim views that you take it to the literal meaning of traditional Islam, and it was not very positive. I'll be very honest with you. So I'm so glad that I had this experience that changed my life forever.
Yeah, what was that experience like? Talk me through it a little bit.
Before or after, you mean?
Wherever you'd like to begin.
So before it was like you should never have Jews and Christians as friends.
Okay.
Because there's a verse in the Quran that says that, and the classic interpretation is that you should never have friends who are Jews and Christians. You should hate. I know some people would say, no, we have nothing like that. And when someone argue with me, I say, do you think you know Islam better than I do? I am not an arrogant person, but I'm just telling you that I was so deeply believing in that. And this is why I say that the experience with the Jewish family in Paris really changed my perspective. I had this inner battle between the religious texts and the classic interpretations that teach hate,
yes,
and the reality. And I remember, Zuby, that the mother, it was a homestay program. So a homestay is a program that you live with a family. The mother's name was Rachel, and Rachel told me, "Hey, you know, the Torah doesn't teach hate. It teaches that, or it tells you that there are enmities between the children of Israel, or the Jewish people, or God's people, and the surrounding neighbors. But it never talks about hate.
Yes.
So, for example, the Torah talks a lot about the children of Israel and the Egyptians and how the Egyptians enslaved the Hebrews. But when God saved the Hebrews, there was a great mitzvah or a great commandment that God told the children of Israel in the Torah that you should never abhor or hate. Lo tete'ev mitzri ki ger hayita be'artzo. You should never hate an Egyptian because you were foreigners in the land. So God is, that's Rachel's words. And by the way, so many things that I say right now are inspired by Rachel. So we understand that there could be enmity between certain people, but it's not eternal enmity. Unfortunately, so many, this fundamentalists in the Islamic religion believe that some enmities are eternal.
Mm-hmm.
And I held this belief, but I conquered it, I overcome it, I defeated it with knowledge and with a kind heart. A kind heart is a very important aspect, Zubi. You know, there's a prayer by King David in Psalm 51, create in me a pure heart, O God, and a steadfast soul, renew in me. This is a very important prayer. So if you have a pure heart, even if darkness could fool you once, it would never fool you twice.
What did that process look like and perhaps more importantly feel like for you?
I was very disappointed at what I thought things were because I was taught or I had this belief that the teachings that I have are the ultimate teaching, that they should never be questioned and they are always right. But when you live with people who have these beliefs that you were told that they were the bad people and then you see with your eyes that it's not true, you feel that you had to have the courage of expunging this hate. Expunging the hate requires great courage
and humility.
Alhamdulillah, thank God, Baruch Hashem. So, if you don't have the courage, because the inner battle would tell you, "Oh, you want to stand out? Everyone is doing this. Everyone is hating." And even if they don't approve or say it out loud, because some people say, no, we never hate, no. But when it comes to the real action, they hate.
Mm-hmm.
They really hate. So it requires courage and how some sort of the ability to say this is wrong,
mm-hmm.
and this is wrong, no matter what the source is. This is wrong.
Wow. So that was 14 years ago.
Okay. I remember, Zubi, when I returned from Paris, I had a conversation with my mom. And I told her, I'm starting to have different ideas about the Jews and everything and stuff because I lived with a nice Jewish family and I learned Judaism. It was
How did your parents respond to it all?
So my mom told me, Luay, I'll give you 2 months. 2 months. You are influenced by a family and maybe you loved them. So 2 months and you'll go back to where you were.
And what were...
But hold on.
Okay.
It's now 14 years.
Yes. What were your parents' perspectives on that?
My family was always liberal.
Okay.
My family never taught me hate.
Okay.
But it's like the media and the education system or the school at that time. But let me just say one thing. I have to commend the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, Prince Mohammed bin Salman, because he's doing great job in rehabilitating the education system in Saudi Arabia. Now it's tremendous. It's
interesting.
It's really great. But I remember because in high school I was in 1997, 1999. So I was, when I graduated in 2001, I was like 18, 17 at that time. So now the education system, curricula changed a lot. And we have to commend the brave and amazing Crown Prince for doing great stuff. I really love this prince. And
okay.
I believe he's an honest person who wants to take his nation to the next level.
Yeah.
So I would never blame the family, but the media also played a big role in depicting Jews and Christians as evil or as...
In what sort of way? So it's fascinating because I lived in Saudi Arabia in total on and off for about 20 years. But of course, living there as an expat and being in an Aramco bubble... You're going to have a very different experience to Saudi nationals who are living in the cities and who are speaking Arabic and they're in the culture and they're surrounded by very different people, different messaging, different education system. So I myself am pretty ignorant and naive to what the schooling system is like in Saudi for Saudi nationals, what it was like then and what it's like now. So can you?
It's now much better.
Okay.
Of course, much better, and also in the UAE, alhamdulillah, it's like a great progress throughout the Arab world, to be very honest. But I was going to tell you that there was a great shift from lots of negative depiction of other nations or other religions in the curricula to a better one now.
Okay.
And if you look at the curricula now, you will see that this is great. And this has to be commended to the Crown Prince because he's doing this great job. And education really is the stepstone of fixing any nation, Zubi. And this is why I say when this war ends in Gaza, the first thing that has to be done is education. Education. And you have to teach people how to love other religions or other, not other religions, other religious groups.
Yes.
And to remove this self-narcissism that would take them over to think that they are better than other religious groups. This is something very important because I took Islam very seriously.
Yes.
I was so honest. You know, I always say this, when you are sincere in your hate, in the search of God, God will touch your heart one day and will take you to the right step or to the light. Because I was, if you ask the 19-year-old Lu'ay, do you hate Jews and Christians? Of course.
Yeah.
Why? Because there's a verse that says the fierce enemies of the believers are the Jews. If you ask me now, when I'm 40, what do you say about this verse? I would tell you this verse was contextual. You have to read it in the context.
Okay.
It had a context and it stopped there.
And what is the context of that? That
the Prophet in the beginning of his message to spread Islam, to spread a new faith, you would have certain conflicts here and there.
Yes.
And I would understand that these conflicts had circumstances that do not exist today. Mm. And I would keep them there.
Historical context.
Just like with exactly the same way you read the Bible.
Yes.
You can never say that the verses in the Bible that say a slave has to obey his master, applicable every time and everywhere.
Yes.
Now we abolished slavery.
Yes.
So you cannot say, oh, let's restore slavery in order to apply these verses. Some fanatics do this, by the way.
Yeah. You with any of the holy texts, if you were to just take it with no context and just
especially when it comes
pick
to conflict
individual
I'm not
lines,
talking
then,
about I'm not talking yeah. about I'm not talking about texts that tell you to be a good person or to give
yes.
the alms tithe or to give money to the poor or to do this. I'm talking about contexts that are related to
conflicts
with other nations.
Yeah.
It is temporary.
Mm-hmm.
And the Torah says that.
So tell me about the work you've been doing over the past decade plus. How has that grown and evolved in terms of your social media outreach, in terms of becoming a peace advocate, in terms of your YouTube channel, your Twitter presence, Instagram presence,
all
of these
things? I started to do this career in 2011.
Okay.
My career really started in 2011. And I told you, 2011 is a year after 2010. Mm-hmm. So I was the Lu'ay who expunged hate of radical extremism teachings. And I became a different person. It's like you take a very nice cold shower with all the hate going out of your heart. So I started with YouTube, teaching people languages, teaching mainly Saudis English language through Hollywood. And this is why I was honored. I did lots of translation services. I translated the speeches of the Saudi kings from King Abdul Aziz, may his memory be a blessing, Allah yarhamu, to King Salman, may God bless him. And I did also history projects in Saudi Arabia and in the UAE. I did a program called Dubai Before Common Era. It talks about the history of Dubai. Al-Ushush, Al-Qisas, Al-Sufuh, Saruq Al-Hadid. These are the ancient sites that have rich history in Dubai. And I did that in collaboration with Dubai Media Office back in 2018. And I've done lots of work in history and languages, and I'm so proud of that work. And 2017, I started to be outspoken about Israel and about how Israel. That was 3 years before the Abraham Accords, Zubi.
Yes,
that was not. It's like not. Oh, he's just speaking about the Abraham Accords when the Abraham Accords happened. He's an opportunist.
Yeah.
That is not true. So even before the Abraham Accords, I spoke about it, and I saw tremendous hate, tremendous anger, tremendous opposition, and I, you know, I'll be very honest with you, Zubi. I really understood why people oppose an Arab, a Muslim, to learn Judaism and Hebrew, especially from Islamist scholars.
Yes.
You know why? Because they would know that you would know the truth that they are trying to hide. How beautiful Judaism and the Torah and the Bible are, and then you might have positive views. This is my conclusion. Mm-hmm. This is why so many Islamists were, no, why he's trying to make people convert to Judaism, which is silly. Judaism is not...
It's not a converting religion, really.
It's not a proselytizing religion.
Yeah.
That's first. I'm a Muslim.
Yes.
But so many people don't believe in that.
And people will say that you're funded by the government.
Oh, no,
I don't know why
he left Islam a couple of years ago. And 3 months ago, I was in Mecca doing Umrah. So I don't know how I left Islam with this. But of course, you know, lots of people on social media, they have great imaginations.
Oh, yeah. There are people who don't think I'm real.
Oh, really?
There's people who think I don't exist and that I'm an AI.
So you are real.
I don't know.
I was convinced when I saw it with Elon Musk. I said, okay, he is real.
Well, I think this just shows the level of imagination some people have.
Oh, yeah.
Because what is more probable? I mean, if you think of everything I've done through the decades with my music, my podcast, my books, all the people that I've met, all the photos I've taken, what is more likely? That I'm real or that I'm an AI and all of these people are all in... on the conspiracy theory, and everyone is hiding the fact that I'm...
Let me tell you my own explanation to that. Because they are very lazy in educating themselves and in seeking the knowledge that would change them to better people. It is easier for them to say, there has to be a conspiracy.
Yes.
So this is how they... And I'll be very honest with you, when I had the inner battle, when I lived with a Jewish family in Paris... I was between two Lu'ays. Mm-hmm. A Lu'ay that was telling you shall learn the truth and the truth shall set you free, but you have to invest more time. And another Lu'ay, a lazy Lu'ay, oh, come on, just be with the herd. Just be with everyone else. No.
Do you know what I was...
These Jews are treating you nice because they are pretending to be Jews, but the fact is that they are part of the elders of Zion that was...
Mm. Do you know what I was thinking is I'm so glad that you met a great family. It's so
Thank
good.
God.
Right? No, honestly,
Thank God.
It's so good. You didn't go all the way to France, and you're with some horrible family.
So I'm really grateful because I'll be very honest with you. I wrote an email to the school, and I told them I'm not proud of this email, and I have the email, and I'll make a video about it. An email from 2010. I told the school that I don't feel comfortable with the Jewish family.
Mm.
So please put me with a Tunisian, Moroccan family. I still have the email.
Yeah.
And the family didn't take it personal. And thank God. I don't know why they didn't. I was just saying thank God they didn't. So but imagine one family changed the life of one person. They didn't know that I was I was not a social media influencer. I didn't have any influence. I didn't have 1 million followers across different platforms. They didn't know that. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know I would be sitting now with Zuby, who interviewed Elon Musk. I have to say this again, because I love Elon Musk.
He's a good guy.
But I'm just saying that it was an honest change that they had, and they just did it because they wanted to fix the world.
Yes.
And now it is my responsibility to use my social media to bring Muslims and Jews, Arabs and Israelis closer to fix the world.
Yeah.
I'm not going to use my voice for hate. Never.
When you became more outspoken, firstly, was there something that prompted that? Was there a particular moment that made you decide, hey, I want to speak more about this very controversial and polarizing topic?
I remember. When America moved its embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem in 2017, people started to talk about that the Jews have no connection to Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And I just tweeted a historical fact tweet that went viral and opened the doors of hell when I said that Jerusalem was the capital of Israel 3,000 years ago when King David, whom we honor and revere as Muslims, took it as a capital after it was Hebron or El Khalil.
Mm.
So it was a very historical context tweet, and this tweet itself,
hell loose.
And to be very honest, I backed up a bit. What did I do wrong, guys? I just said it. But the norm in the Arab world is that you should not in the Arab world, I want to say, or in lots,
certain circles of it.
Yeah, major circles of it. You should never relate Jews to this land.
Interesting.
Which is horrendous and preposterous. So, because the word Jew, where does it come from? It comes from Judea.
Judea,
and the Jews belong to that land. Mm-hmm. So whoever say, Lu'ay, you should tell the Jews to go back to where they come from. I totally support that. The Jews should go back to where they come from, which is Israel, Judea.
What is the belief that some people in that case hold in that regard? Because I know in Islam, of course, I mean, you've mentioned David. That's Dawood, right?
In Arabic. Dawood, right.
You have David, of course, you have
Yusuf.
You have Jesus, you have Abraham, right? And these people are Jews in Israel. They're in that
land. The Jews in Israel are white colonialists from Poland and France or Europe.
Yeah, I mean, if you start 70-something years ago, but...
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you, Zubin.
Yeah, so, but, I'm a Christian. I know many Jews. I know many Muslims. But, of course, these are the Abrahamic religions.
You are a follower of a Jew, by the way.
I'm very aware. I'm very aware.
You're very aware. Okay.
Yeah, which is why I find...
Because some Arab Christians, they say, no, he was not. He was.
Yeah.
So I said, what? Jesus was not a Jew?
Yeah. this is where I'm... Of course, the religions have their differences in theology, but there is a lot of commonality and the same characters, the same people... in the same place.
But the self-narcissism in radical Islamism reject the fact that Jews belong to this region.
On what basis? Is that based on some type of text?
It's based on a text that consider all the prophets are Muslims.
Okay,
so,
interesting.
So even saying that David was a Jew and he was a proud Jew is contradictory to the belief system that radical Islamism have.
That's interesting.
I'm just giving you the blunt answer that you will not hear anywhere else in the Arab world.
Okay.
I'll be very blunt with you because I had this belief that all the prophets are Muslims. No, the Jews have nothing to do. They are the golden calf worshippers and they have not. But then when I sat with Rachel and before she eats, she says, Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu Hashem Adon ha'olam melech ha'olam. Blessed are you, the Lord, our God. I said, what God are you worshipping, you Jewish lady?
Mm-hmm.
You don't worship God. You are polytheist, you are this, you say Ezra is the son of God. Fortunately, there's a text that says that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have the courage to criticize, then you're not going to change. And you see how much I love the Torah?
Yes.
I love the Torah so much. But if you come to some verses and say, these verses are applicable today, I say, I'm sorry. And you have the leisure to criticize the text here and there because criticizing doesn't mean you hate.
Yes,
but you're evolving your you're making your understanding evolve.
Yes,
this is what God really wants, and this is what the ancient rabbis understood with the Talmud by having so many different debates. Debate it's really good.
Yes,
you know even Abraham debated God when God said, "I will destroy Sodom."
Mm-hmm.
Abraham said, "Okay, go ahead."
Negotiated.
God.
Yeah.
No, he negotiated. What if 50 righteous? Yes. What if 40?
40.
What if 30? Yeah. Abraham debated God.
Yes. Yes.
Abraham, our forefather, debated his creator.
Yes.
But it was a good debate. It's not a debate for the sake of I don't like you, God. Why are you destroying them?
No.
Okay, but what if 50, 40, 30, 20 righteous people? It tells you that the importance of debate.
Yes.
And unfortunately, so many Islamic schools, they consider debate as ilm al-kalam. Or it's like you should never debate. You should never question. You should just... always submit.
Interesting.
Very, I believe Islam needs a reform. A constructive reform because it's the youngest Abrahamic faith.
Mm-hmm.
It needs a reform that would save the lives of millions of Muslims, not to be fanatics.
Yes.
And no one would tell you this better than those who defeated the darkness and saw the light.
Man. You're dropping some bars here. This is good. This is good. I love this. So when you became outspoken primarily on social media, and of course you started to receive, I'm sure you got huge amounts of love, but also huge amounts of backlash.
A great backlash.
Yes. Were you...
Zero regrets. Let me say this to you. Zero regrets. Ephes in Hebrew. Zero. You know why? Because I'm not doing this for anyone.
Yes.
I'm not serving the agenda of... the elders of Zion, somewhere they're sitting there.
You'll get the accusations.
Yeah, of course you get the. How much are they paying you?
I don't know. Apparently, I'm on the payroll of 12 or 15 different organizations. Apparently,
I'm on
the payroll of
the protocols of the elders of Zion. I'm just telling you this. No, but I'm not doing this to serve anyone's agenda.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing this because I acquired the great knowledge that makes me believe that this is wrong. This is right.
Yes.
This is why I'm doing it. This is why I am strenuously, and vehemently, and with great resolve, doing this on social media. Because I've seen this darkness. And this is why I say, Baruch Hashem, thank you, God. Because if God didn't give you the opportunity to see the darkness, you would never be able to differentiate it from light.
Yes.
So, yeah, lots of backlash. But I tell my friends, by the way, Zubi, in Saudi or in Egypt or in Bahrain or in the different parts of the Arab world who say, we're not your friends anymore. I say, I totally understand. I've been in your shoes. My door is always open. You are welcome to come back anytime. And I want you to know that I believe what I'm doing is making me a better person. I don't get into insults, bad-mouthing. You've seen my videos. I don't bad-mouth anyone. No. I don't hate any group. Mm-hmm. I really, when God touched my heart in 2010, I say, I became a very, how to say this, different person in terms of loving everyone.
Yes.
Not hating. Because, you know, hate in radical Islam is not only against Jews and Christians. It's against other sects of Islam, other denominations, because the word sect has negative meaning, other denominations of Islam. So there is a tremendous hate that no one wants to say that it's there.
Yes.
Everyone is hiding it. No, 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 we don't have it. No, 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 it's you got it wrong. You think I got it wrong?
Mm.
Okay. I'm just telling you, if you want to save the millions of Muslims who are young, ambitious, great-minded, people who sincerely love God, you should do a great reform takes courage. And you can do a silent reform.
Okay.
By the way, you want me to tell you an example of a country that is doing a silent, successful reform? The UAE.
I was going to say.
The UAE. The UAE is doing a great silent reform.
I was going to
reform.
Ask, what does that reform look like?
So, first of all, you see great respect for all religions.
Yes.
You see a Hindu temple, a church, a mosque, and a synagogue in one neighborhood, which is the Abrahamic family house.
Yeah, I went there last year.
Personal freedoms are granted to everyone. You don't have a religious police that would go after you, question your behavior. And thank God also in Saudi Arabia that was abolished.
Mutawa.
Mutawa.
Yeah, I remember them as children.
That was abolished.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, the Crown Prince of Saudi is also doing a silent reform.
Okay.
In introducing a moderate Islam that is applicable to live in the 21st century. Because the version that was so strict to the literal words and the verses and the hadiths are not applicable. But you have to have people who have the courage to say this.
Courage.
Yes. Exactly.
And where do you think the balance is there between maintaining the faith and the culture and the tradition, but also reforming and moderating it?
I told you, the UAE is a great example.
Yes.
It keeps Islam as a religion.
Okay.
You see the country is celebrating Muslim holidays. You can worship God freely. You can go to the mosques. You can do lots of things. You can keep your identity as a Muslim.
Yes.
But at the same time, you're very open to different faiths, different religions. 200-plus nationalities live here. So by default, you would be so open to deal with everyone in a great manner. You would never have hate. You would have laws, strict laws, like here in the UAE, against hate speech.
Okay.
You know there is a great law here against hate speech. So if I say, for example, Zubi, you are retarded. I'm sorry. I'm not going to say that. I love you, Zubi.
Cancel. Okay.
But if I dehumanize you by your religion, denominations, color, trust me, the next hour I'd be in jail. And I support that. Because this has to be strict.
Okay.
It has to be law and order.
Okay, that's very interesting, because that's a very interesting diversion towards the approach, say, somewhere like in the USA, which is, you know, as far as countries go, the land of free speech, right? First Amendment, you cannot prosecute people based on their words, no hate speech laws, anything like that, right? It's a much more classically liberal approach of you can say whatever the heck you want and it can be as demeaning as you want as long as you're not calling directly for violence or you're not, you know, engaging in some type of fraud or false advertising or what would be considered a legal form of slander
you have to add lots of explanations.
Well, yeah, there's a couple caveats, but in the U.S., you can essentially say whatever you want to anybody.
And this is very unfortunate, but of course, at the end of the day, I love the U.S. and I wish them. I wish that they wake up and understand the difference between free speech and incitement. I met American people, not Jewish, who say that in the U.S., if you say, "I support Hamas," that is totally fine.
Oh, of course, absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. So I tell them that there is a very thin line between saying I support Hamas and being part of Hamas. He said, "No, being part of it is a different story." I said, "Okay, so you're going to wait for the moment for someone who says I support Hamas to become a Hamas member, or not Hamas, any other terrorist organization to become a member." There has to be a differentiation, and I believe the founding fathers of the U.S., if they saw how trembling the world is right now when it comes to free speech, I believe they would have a Second Amendment to the First Amendment to the First Amendment to add some sort of things that would differentiate. Freedom of speech is I totally respect, but incitement. Directly and indirectly, from the river to the sea, is an incitement.
Yes, I think the problem is that I think it's two things. Number one is that it can be a very slippery slope. You can start with the restrictions which sound and seem reasonable, right? The most extreme types of speech, and you say, okay, we're going to restrict those. And then the next thing is, you know, there are people who have tried to say that I engage in hate speech. I don't even use bad language. I mean, I don't hate anyone. I just have some views which by Western standards might be considered too conservative, or, oh, he's too right-wing. Or even just by being a person of faith, there might be people who are secular, atheistic progressives, and they think that everything in the Bible, the Torah, the Quran, they think all of it is wrong, and it's anti-LGBT, and it's against this group and that group, and that's their view on it, and so they want to restrict it. And then you might have someone who's more conservative who is like, no, I want to restrict the thing these other people are saying. So with both who it is that sets the rules and then where those boundaries are, that's where it becomes extraordinarily complicated, which is why when it comes to freedom of speech, a lot of people, particularly in the West, but even outside of it, it's like, okay, this is messy, and we acknowledge that this is messy. People going around chanting certain things, saying they support certain things, using certain slurs or language, it can make different groups of people uncomfortable. But the general idea is, okay, that's true, but it's better than risking the form of potential creeping authoritarianism or totalitarianism that will creep in if you then allow the federal U.S. government to start determining what people can and cannot say. It gets
I understand. Weird very quickly. I understand. This is the very important point to highlight, that it should have some sort of a variation from a country to a country. Mm. Maybe democracy works great for you guys.
For sure.
But I'm not speaking on anyone's behalf, but I really hate democracy. I believe in,
this is the most honest man I love.
I love monarchies. Yeah. I believe Arabs need a monarch, a king, a leader who we would follow, a leader who's from the people, who would take care of the people. And if you look at the UAE, Saudi, and other stable regimes in the country, in the region, they are monarchs.
Yes.
So monarchy is something that I really favor. And yes, I know you might say, but democracy and stuff on there, but I'm
more critical of democracy than your typical British person.
I don't like democracy.
That's interesting. Yeah. So if you, again, I guess the standard pushback on that would be, what if you get a bad monarch?
Okay.
Right? What if you get a tyrant?
That's a good question. So if you have a monarch who comes from the people, like the case here in the UAE, for example, Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed is from the people. So this is why he's taking care of his people. He's taking care of the country. He's addressing the nation as the people of the UAE, residents and citizens.
Yes.
So when you have someone from the family or a ruling family that is from the people, that is something so great to have. Now, about the other situation, However the situation ends up to, if you have someone who's bad, and so there are ways to change, but not through chaos, demonstrations, and stuff like that. And I always say, I am with the team that says, if there's a country that is ruled by someone you don't like, or someone that, for example, is oppressing you or is doing this and that, ardallahu wasi', as we say, you can leave.
Yes. What are your thoughts on what is currently happening in the Israel-Palestine situation, in whichever way you would like to answer that question?
So I believe that, first of all, let's just remember that, as I told you, I love Israelis as much as I love the Palestinians. I love both people very well. And I believe that the Palestinians have the right to live in dignity,
yes,
side by side with their Israeli neighbors. I totally believe in the right of Israel to exist. I defend the legitimacy of Israel, biblically, historically, and on the ground. And I believe what happened was a war that was started by a terrorist organization called Hamas on October 7th, when they attacked Israel. Listen, Zubi, I wouldn't be speaking about it if Hamas militants went to Israel and attacked only soldiers. I would still say this is a they broke the ceasefire that was there, but the soldiers are trained to retaliate. Yes. But what Hamas did is horrendous, or was horrendous. Hamas went to a Supernova music festival. People I know were killed in the Supernova music festival. Civilians, most of them were not conscious even because they were partying, they were having fun. And then they were faced with a great terror attack, and Israel had to respond. This is how I put it.
Yeah.
And I have to say that this war, if someone to be blamed on this war, I would blame Israel for the great intelligence failure that happened. Huge intelligence failure. That is something for Israel to be blamed. But of course, the one that waged this war was Hamas.
Yes.
And we have to always remember that Hamas waged this war. And they call it Al-Aqsa flood because we want to liberate Al-Aqsa. And they know so well that they are not telling the truth, because Israel has great religious freedom that no one else has, by the way, in the Palestinian territories even.
Okay.
So Israel allows Muslims to worship, yes, allows Muslims to go and do Ramadan and everything. But Hamas used Al-Aqsa Mosque to provoke the feelings of the Muslims. But later on, they started to say what their true intentions were. Their true intentions were to disrupt the normalization between Israel and Saudi Arabia and other countries as well. Mm-hmm. They don't want Israel to integrate. They don't. Hamas does not believe in the right of Israel to exist, or they do not honor the lives of Jews. And let me tell you this, Zubi. Whoever tells you otherwise haven't read Hamas charter. Mm-hmm. Even if you said, no, I read that. I read both charters, the one in 1987 and the watered down one in 2017. I say you didn't write. You didn't read it.
Okay.
You didn't read it because it's in English and you don't speak Arabic.
Okay.
If you read it in the Arabic version, Hamas believes in the eternal enmity between Muslims and Jews. That's what their charter says. They have zero respect for the Jewish people. They have zero respect for history and facts. The Jews belong to this region, belong to this land, and they want to annihilate Israel, and they did something horrendous on October 7th, and we should always blame Hamas for any consequence that this war had. Hamas has to be blamed first.
Mm-hmm.
Hamas has to be blamed first, and the pressure should be on Hamas to release the hostages, lay down their arms, and end this war, because this war can end today.
Yes.
If Hamas lays down its arms, release the hostages, and this is how the war should end. Israel will never allow this war to end in a way that Hamas has control over Gaza. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. And no one, let me tell you something, Zubi, you might not hear in the Arab world.
Okay.
No one in the Arab world of the moderate, sincere, and prosperous leadership would want a state run by Hamas next to them. Alhamdulillah, Baruch Hashem. Alhamdulillah. No one wants a state led by Hamas in even most of the Arab neighbors that condemn Israel or speak highly against this or that operation. No one wants Hamas to be in control. No one. Because they know that these fanatic, radical Islamists will bring trouble to their neighbors as well.
Yes.
We haven't seen Israel bringing trouble. We've seen the Abraham Accords, how it played.
Mm-hmm.
And I really hope that more voices in Israel and in Palestinian territories would come up and say, we want to live together in peace and dignity, because Israelis deserve to live in peace and dignity, and also the Palestinians.
Yes.
I would never speak against the Palestinian people, because they are my brothers, and they are the people that deserve to live in dignity on their land, because it is their land as well. The problem is with Hamas, not with the Palestinians. Not all the Palestinians are like Hamas. And I would never direct any speech of my speeches against the Palestinian people in Gaza or in other territories. On the contrary, I believe that the Palestinians have the right to live in dignity and in peace alongside their Israeli neighbors.
Yes. That sounds remarkably sane.
Thank you. Thank you. I know you might not hear this a lot in the outer world. Yeah.
Well, I mean, most of the people I hear having conversations about this are Western voices.
Mm.
And the Western voices, in many cases, it's hard to find ones that are sane and reasonable as well. It's incredibly partisan.
Mm.
It's either you're pro this side, and therefore you must be anti this side, or you're pro this side, and you now must be anti this side. There's not a lot of nuance.
Hamas and Israel, I would definitely choose Israel.
Yeah,
it's not about Israel and the Palestinians. This is something very important.
Okay,
Hamas are radical extremist Islamists who love to bring troubles to their people and to their neighbors, and they would never stop with Israel. They would go beyond, and no one wants these madmen to rule or have a state, ever.
Yes.
But the Palestinian people are educated, are very well, are smart, and they have the right. I always focus on this word. It's very important, Zubi, dignity. We should make the Palestinians, our brothers, feel that they deserve to live in dignity.
Amen.
And I say this, by the way, and I get insults by so many Palestinians. But at the end of the day, I truly understand that they are going through a lot.
Yes.
And whoever wrote this comment might have a father who he had lost in Gaza.
Very emotionally charged.
This is why I don't take it personal. Yeah. But I'm saying that the Palestinian people are not my enemies, of course. Are not anyone's enemies, even the peace-loving people or the peacemakers. And I stress that both people have the right to live in dignity and in peace. Both of them.
Yes.
And I love both of them.
Yes.
But because people see me that when they see that I talk a lot about Israel and my love for Israel, which is true.
Yes.
I'm not going to hide. Biblically, historically, the prophets of God, the Torah, the Bible, I cannot hide that. But I do love the Palestinians as well. And I believe that they have great people that deserve to live in dignity. Focus on dignity. Dignity is something very important, because some of them feel that people are not saying that we should have the same life as the Israelis. No, they should.
What do you see playing out in that region and the rest of the Middle East over the next? We're in the first quarter of a new century.
So sad news.
What do you think?
Sad news to Hamas and Islamists. You will lose. Sad news for them. Good news for us. Eventually, sane leaders in the region will take the path of peace.
Mm-hmm.
No one wants to have, I love my region so well. I love the Middle East.
I see the
Mizrach Tikhon or the Middle East like the new Europe. This is, by the way, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia said that I dream of a Middle East that is a new Europe.
Yes.
So I join in this dream, and everyone wants to have a Middle East that is stable, prosperous. You cannot have it with radical, fascist Islamists like Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood. Simple, basic, and elementary. Everyone deep down knows this, even those who make statements that could imply otherwise. But they deep down know that Hamas and Islamists and Muslim Brotherhood should never have a future in our region. And our region should go forward towards the path of peace, towards the path of reconciliation between Muslims and Jews, Arabs and Israelis. And I don't mean to exclude Christians when I say Jews.
It's okay. There's a lot of us.
No, of course, Christians as well. But because the problem is with Israel and Jews.
Yeah.
But of course, I love Christians. I have lots of Christian friends in Lebanon, in Syria, in Egypt. Lots of amazing people. I love Christians so much. But I focus on Jews because the problem is with the main problem is between Muslims and Jews.
Yes, no doubt. Well, you've got one more Christian friend, man.
Of course.
I love your work.
Honored.
Where can people find and follow you online, man?
They can find me on LinkedIn, Luay Al-Sharif. You can find me also on Instagram. On my Instagram, on X, the same handle, L Al-Sharif. That's Lima Alpha. I'm a pilot as well. I'm an A320 pilot.
Yeah, okay.
Cabin crew, seats for takeoff. Okay. So you can find me on X and Instagram, the same handle, Lima Alpha Lima Sierra Hotel Alpha. R is Romeo, Echo Echo Foxtrot, L Al Sharif.
Luay, man, I love the work you're doing, man.
You're so much.
Inspirational guy. I think you're very courageous. You're very honest, truthful, forthright, and these are all massive traits that I respect. And
God bless you. And let me say this again. I'm so honored to be interviewed by Zuby, who interviewed one of my favorite human beings, Elon Musk. And Elon Musk AOC as well. I love so much. So, thank you so much.
Awesome, Luay. Thanks for your time, man. Appreciate you.